The NHL draft going on tonight in Vancouver. We have not caught up with our next guest, I think, since the last time we were at the draft, which was probably in Chicago, I think.
A couple years ago.
Yep. So he's, I'm assuming, doing the rounds down there, the radio row, and he is nice enough to join us over the mic in Vancouver. Here is the commissioner of the National Hockey League, Gary Bettman. How you doing, Gary?
I'm doing great, guys. Yeah, it has been too long, so it's good that we can get together again.
Well, we're excited about tonight. In terms of the draft, the NBA draft went down last night. You guys have the platform tonight. How important is it for the league to utilize this spotlight to promote these young players? Because a lot of them, the average fans, just simply don't know who they are.
Well, this is the beginning of making our fans and sports fans in general aware of who our next generation of stars are. And, you know, people look at the event and it's fun to be here and we'll have a packed house. But first and foremost, this is a business meeting where the teams are transacting important business. But creating this as an event gives the players exposure. And obviously, we think that's very important.
Well, in terms of that business, you know, the whole hockey world is on edge because we don't even know what the salary cap is going to be definitively next season. I can't recall a time in the past, I might be wrong, where we got to the draft and the salary cap had not been defined.
Well, we still have a few days until free agency begins, but I happen to agree with you. I would prefer that we take care of this business with the Players Association a little quicker than sometimes it happens. And we're waiting to hear back from the Players Association to sign off on the final number. And so, you know, that's the reality we live in, and they obviously have a process they have to go through, and I respect that process, but that's the reason we don't have the number yet.
Gary, I'm sure you've heard the word parity a lot bandied about when it comes to the National Hockey League, whether it's good or bad. In your eyes, is it good when it comes down to a team like the St. Louis Blues winning the Cup?
First of all, and no disrespect, and I'm not nitpicking, I think the term competitive balance is much more elegant than parity.
Fair enough.
Okay,
yeah.
And I think it's great. I think it's extraordinary. You know, as you follow the game and as you have for years, the fact of the matter is our regular season is compelling. Virtually every game matters. We have lots of teams in the hunt till the very end of the regular season. Teams make or don't make the playoffs by a point or two. And then once the playoffs begin, anything can happen. That's what I think as a sport and as a league we owe our fans, so that no matter who you root for, you feel like you're a part of what's going on, and I think it's great.
With the commissioner of the NHL, Gary Bettman, he's on the draft floor in Vancouver, the draft taking place tonight. From your standpoint, and obviously you've got a lot of stake in the game, how frustrating was it to continue to deal with the constant refereeing mistakes and distractions in conversations during the playoffs?
Well, you know, I know less than a handful of calls, but a number of calls were focused on, and they happened, or non-calls happened at inopportune times. But we have to take a step back. A, I don't like it. It makes my head spin when that happens. But you do have to recognize that we have the world's best officials in any sport, and they also happen to have the hardest job. The speed with which things are taking place on the ice, the amount of physicality of the game, that doesn't excuse it. It's a fact of life. And everybody associated with the product on the ice, whether it's coaches or players, makes mistakes. Our goal is to limit the number of mistakes. It is to hold the officials accountable when they make mistakes. And, you know, we're now, and we announced we're going to use technology a little bit more to help out in some difficult situations where a call could be missed, but we're not going to use it to call penalties because you can't do that right now, because that would just consume and disrupt the flow of the game.
Full disclosure, I am not a fan of video review. That's across the board, hockey, football, baseball, basketball. I'm fine with the human error element. I mean, it was around for a long time, and we all survived with it. But I understand, you know, this is what we have, and you guys, as you said yesterday, you announced that you're going to update the usage of video review. And I want to get some clarity here on one element here, because the GMs approved lifting the limits on the number of times a coach can challenge a play during the game for goalie interference offside, and this is where it gets sticky for me, Gary, adding the element of possible missed calls that would have resulted in a stoppage of play before a goal scored. What are we talking about here?
We're talking about black and white plays, not judgment calls. Hand pass, puck off a high stick, puck off the net, puck out of play, coming back into the offensive zone. Those are not judgment calls. Those should be black and white calls. Listen, there are people of a certain age, I'll include you and me in that category, who love the game and with any of the imperfections it can have in the human element. But the fact is, technology has increased. So if you played 20 or 30 years ago, errors would take place and they wouldn't be glaring because hardly anybody would see them. But in this 24-hour media cycle with as many as 20 cameras at a game, with every angle in slow-mo, there's more attention paid to what takes place on the ice in nuances. And fans, particularly younger fans who've grown up in a different environment, want us to get it right. And we have to try to get it right. The issue that people have objecting to video replay, they say, well, you know, offside, his foot was in the air by 2 inches. His foot was over the line by 3 inches. He took a half a second longer to get off the ice. That's not about video replay. Video replay enables us to get it right. That's the rule. And if people have a problem with that, we need to be addressing the rule, not the use of video replay, because when we use video replay, we get it right.
Well, a lot of my issues come down to the timeline, Gary. Well,
but the problem with that is, you know, when we're doing goaltender interference principally and offsides, we have a lot of our own cameras. You know, when you have a national broadcast with 18 to 20 cameras, sometimes you got to filter through all of the views that were there to make sure you got it right. And when TV goes out for a commercial, you got to wait for them to come back to see the angles and the pictures that they have. But in the final analysis, and we actually recently did some fan surveying on this, and overwhelmingly, I think somewhere between 70 and 80% of the fans say, if it takes a little longer, get it right. What we didn't in the last 24 hours that we've announced, which is good, we really only want video replay when the call was clearly, absolutely wrong. And so by enabling more challenges but a penalty if you are wrong, it will discourage it. So we're going to review more things, but I think we're going to actually have less reviews.
Well, but I'm even talking about the timeline within the play. Let me paint a picture for you.
I know what you're going to do. Go ahead.
Okay. There was a hand pass in the neutral zone a minute and a half before the puck went in net.
Stop. That won't apply. That won't apply.
Why not?
It only applies in the offensive zone leading to a goal.
Let's say it's a 45-second cycle. Has nothing to do with the goal. Why would, like, do you think fans really want that?
But the call should have been made, just like on offsides. If you don't, then you change the rule. It's not about video replay. It's what the rule is.
Okay, but again, I mean, is this going to be the finality of it, or like, are we two or three years away from you missed a cross check and that should have been called?
When I find it difficult to assume we're going to start calling penalties with video replay, because you know there's too much that takes place on the ice, too many warnings, too many conversations, there's a consistency. These are limited to the black and white calls, and we're also requiring the referees, when they call a major, to go look at it. We only had 39 majors last year, and this way, if we give them a second look, whether or not it should be 2 minutes or 5 minutes is something they can get right. And we're also going to give them the discretion to look at a four-minute high stick to see if what we call friendly fire takes place. Player clearly was high stick, clearly got cut, but it was either his own stick or a teammate's stick. That'll be something we can look at as well. And there were only four of those last year. What happens is our officials overwhelmingly get it right. But in the final analysis, if they get it wrong at a crucial time, it gets a lot of attention. And we have a responsibility to do the best we can to help them get it right.
Why do you think we haven't seen more offer sheets since, you know, the salary cap was implemented?
I think that's easy. The system we negotiated makes it very harsh for you to get a really quality or star player in terms of what you have to give up. And the best way to build a team now is through the draft, with developing your own players, and to sign one player to an offer sheet and have to give up three or four first-round draft picks. I wouldn't do that if I was running a team. I don't think it has anything to do with anything else other than the price of admission.
Do you see Seattle having as much success as Vegas early on?
The rules of the expansion draft will be the same. And so it depends on who the general manager is and whether or not he can do it as well as George McPhee did, who did an extraordinary job. And off the ice, I see them having tremendous success. They already have deposits, significant deposits, for over 33,000 season tickets in a building that's going to seat between 17,000 and 18,000. And I think there's a waiting list of 26,000 more. The vast majority of the suites have been sold. They've got tons of corporate sponsors already. This franchise is going to do extraordinarily well. And as I sit here in Vancouver, the notion of having a geographic rivalry in the Pacific Northwest, I think, is going to be very exciting for both clubs.
We'll get you out of here on this, Gary. I got to ask you, as a commissioner, there's only four of the big four commissioners going here, and you've been you've been a part of that group for a number of years. There's a fascinating story that came out yesterday in baseball that Tampa is going to explore the idea of splitting time between Tampa and Montreal, and maybe obviously having basically two markets for the same team. Would you ever entertain that idea? How do you feel about that idea?
Well, I'm not going to pass judgment on whatever baseball does or is thinking of doing. I would have lots of questions, including how the players would deal with having two homes before I could answer the question. I would have questions before I could answer the question.
Okay. All right, we'll leave
Fair
it there.
Fair enough, yeah.
We'll leave it there. Well, enjoy it in Vancouver. Do you think you're going to get cheered tonight, or what do you think the reaction will be?
Absolutely not.
No? You're not anticipating
But I think I have a little surprise that may turn it.
Oh,
wow.
So tune in and find out.
Okay, we're looking forward to it. There's a tease. I love
Yes, absolutely. That's exactly what it was.
Okay, thank you, Gary. Enjoy it. We appreciate you finding time for us.
Always good to be with you guys. Thank you.
There's Gary Bettman of the National Hockey League.
Jimmy Benning's told him that he's made a trade.
Something's going on.
Jimmy Benning traded the 10th pick.
Right.
That's what it is.